Howdy, history writers. This is Doc Boyle, Headword Wrangler and Trail Boss of Old West Daily Reader.com. Take a few minutes and let's ride the memory trail through Old West Daily Reader into the past. This is program 9 for 2020. What was happening during the calendar week, February 22nd through February 28th in the Great American Old West? February 22nd, 1978. Harold Glenn Hal Borland, nature journalist, author, poet. His grandfather was a blacksmith and his father a newspaper man. He began at his father's paper in Flagler, Colorado, and ended up in the New York Times in 1937. His nature editorials became an indispensable feature. By the end of his career, he had written 1,750 nature editorials, the final one published one day before he died in 1978. His books include When the Legends Die, 1963, Sundial of the Seasons, 1964, and Beyond Your Doorstep, A Handbook to the Country, 1971. February 23rd, 1871, Grant County, New Mexico Territory. Captain John M. Bullard, at the time one of the founding fathers of Silver City, New Mexico, killed in a skirmish over the whites having taken a traditional Apache campsite to lay out their town. There were certainly other issues. February 24th, 1917, Joe Davis, of Foreign Range War fame, sentenced to 25 years in federal prison for the robbery of the Golden State Limited in Arizona. February 25th, 1911, the Battle of Kelly Creek. The band of renegade Indians, 7 men, 3 women, and perhaps 5 children, had perpetrated, quote, the last massacre, unquote. They were led by Shoshone Mike Daggett in their escape as far as Kelly Creek near Winnemucca, Nevada. There, they were surrounded by a pursuing posse, and in a wild 3-hour fight, all the adult Indians were killed. At the end, out of ammunition, they faced the posse's guns with bows and arrows, tomahawks, spears, and knives. A 16-year-old girl and 3 small children were the only survivors. A civilian posse member, Ed Hogle, later died of wounds. The Indians were buried in a dynamited hole at Glasconade, Nevada. The 4 children were sent to the Stewart Indian School near Carson City, but only one lived beyond the year 1913. While this business has occasionally been billed as an Indian uprising, it was simply a violent, escalated criminal act. After controversy and legal action, posse members were paid a reward. February 26, 1936, Letterman Hospital at the Presidio of San Francisco sees the passing of the last survivor of the Battle of the Little Bighorn, retired Army Colonel Charles A. Barnum at age 86, stationed at Fort Lincoln in the Dakota Territory with Lieutenant Colonel George Custer's 7th Cavalry. Barnum accompanied the Yellowstone Expedition in 1873 and the Black Hills Expedition in 1874. He was Custer's chief of scouts, managing the sorties and resultant information from the mix of civilians, Army personnel, Crow Indians, and Iraqi Indians scouting for the 7th. Custer ignored the warning from his scouts and attacked the Indian force, which was far beyond his expectations, and was wiped out in less than half an hour. Barnum had the good fortune to be with Benteen and Reno and survived the battle. February 27, 1879. The conflict raged throughout the West as settlers, nesters, sodbusters, etc. continued to string the devil's rope around their crops and closed off the open range, which cattlemen considered a God-given right. In Nebraska, Prent Olivan family, who had regularly harassed homesteaders, had taken to cutting settlers' fences, driving their cattle over their crops, then having them arrested for rustling the olive cattle, now on their land. Prent's brother, Bob Olive, is killed doing it, so Prent offers a $700 reward for the rustlers, killers, etc. Amy Whitt Ketchum and Luther Mitchell, the guilty sodbusters, are arrested by Sheriff Barney Gillian of Keith County and turned over to Print, who promptly has them lynched. He also shoots Mitchell for killing his brother, and the bodies were burned. However, it's a little too much for the populace, and Print, Fred Fisher, and the others are indicted for murder. Barney Armstrong and Nigger Jim Kelly are indicted as accessories. February 28, 1878, passage of the Bland-Allison Act, reintroducing bimetallism and making silver a part of the monetary standard. It required the government to buy a specified amount of silver and circulate it as silver dollars. The problem was that the great silver boom destabilized the value of silver and therefore the currency based upon it. The silver dollars never went into circulation. This is program 9 for 2020. All the material presented here is copyrighted by OldWestDailyReader.com and R.W. Doc Boyle. Fine Old Time background tunes were played by Don, Molly, Bill, and Kendall of Colorado band Wooden Nickel. This is Doc Boyle inviting you to trail back this way about this time next week. We'll take another look in OldWestDailyReader.com to see what happened in the great American Old West. Thanks for riding by.